morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am more than pleased, happy, overwhelmed, and full of gratitude to have my two guests with me today. The one guy who looks like me, he is the Bishop of Springfield. They gave him that title in Rome. I don't know, some people over there. Here, we've given him the title of Bishop of Berkshire County. And the people here love him. Maybe not as much as they used to, because they took the guy sitting next to him, Father Christian Malatesta from Dalton, and has moved him down to the chancery to be the vicar, I believe. They'll straighten all that out later. But to both of you, welcome. It's great to have you. Father Chris, great seeing you.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Bill.
Thanks, yeah, Bill. And lots going on. Lots going on, not only in the diocese, but in the church. And I personally want to thank you, Bishop, for helping with the funds to fix St. Charles Church.
Right.
And the other thank you is we're not moving Father Matt to Philip, because that was the big rumor here, you know.
I know. Yeah,
but they nailed the door shut, so he couldn't have gone anyhow.
Yeah.
They're funny like that.
The shock collar helped.
So what's going on? Lots, huh?
We had a very exciting weekend last weekend at the Mass Mutual Center here. We had 1,500 kids coming from all over the Northeast for the Steubenville East Life Teen Conference.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to see 1,500 kids fall on their knees at the consecration at the Mass and singing and going to almost all of them. We had almost 1,500 confessions.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And good ones. I sat and heard for hours.
Wow. Wow.
The really beautiful stuff going on here, especially with youth and young adults.
And well, as part of that, the contingent from the Berkshires as well.
Oh, wow.
Big contingent. And we've got another thing. We've got a whole group of youth and young adults on pilgrimage right now as we speak to Rome for the Jubilee year.
Wow. That's phenomenal. And there's a lot of press lately about people coming back to the church. Maybe it's the turmoil in the world. I don't know. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit, you know, ringing a lot of phones. But I'm so happy to hear that. I really and truly. And part of it, and both of you have been a part of, in my opinion, the resurgence of the diocese, the church in the diocese.
So every October, we count in the pews to just see how many people are going to Mass and the average. And last year, we saw an uptick of 5% across the diocese. So that just shows you we're trending in the right direction. And now we have five guys in seminary. So about up from zero, five is our magical number right now.
Well, I think more and more people are, I don't know, maybe I'm an old man. Well, I am an old man. I am an old man, but I think more and more people are finding out that all the answers aren't here. All I have to do is turn the television on. And if you can't see that, you need to go back to school. But that's great. What I see happening, too, is a lot of my peers that haven't been to church in a long time are starting to come back. Father Chris brought a lot back up to St. Agnes. Father Matt's bringing a lot of people back to St. Charles. So, and like you said, his angel choir sometimes his angel choir is beautiful. Maybe he doesn't think so during the sermon, but when I hear them, I think of what you said, my angel choir.
I tell you, I think especially the folks your age, you know, as you're starting to get ready to relocate to Glory Boulevard, you want to make sure that you've got your real estate squared away.
Yeah, taxes paid.
Exactly. So, and you're not going to do that by staying home on a Sunday morning watching Fox.
No, or in so many people I think today are seeing that. The Polish princess and I were at a minimum of 2 weeks a week, a minimum. And so yeah, pretty soon so I'm going to get the call.
Right. Now,
I
do you
hope.
know these people, Bill, or do you just like to show up and wait?
Well, I like to go to the funerals because go to the buffet
To
afterwards.
the buffet afterwards,
Yeah. And I bring Tupperware because I'm tired now. So, but what, Father Chris, how are you enjoying your new job?
I'm good. It's like the perfect storm, leaving Dalton and starting Camp Holy Cross while I'm supposed to be down here as well.
Yeah,
So,
I was going to
you know,
ask you about the camp.
ship passing a night of everybody here, but I'm finally got boots on the ground and getting myself settled. It's really going well.
Well, good. And how's Camp Holy Cross? That's really important to me.
We've been having a great summer up there. Our numbers are back to pre-COVID numbers,
Oh,
and
great.
you know, we're thrilled with that. Kids have been having a great summer, like a lot of groups using us as well. So it's going really well. Again.
I mean, it's such an amazing place. If people
Oh,
in
it is.
churches have never been by, then they've missed something. It's
Yes.
right up in Goshen. It's not far, right next to the right on that reservoir where the what's the other half of that thing called? The park.
Yeah, so DAR State Forest.
Yeah, the DAI, yep.
We have 250 acres, and then we're surrounded by 10,000 acres of state forest land. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I went there when it was relatively new. That's a long time ago. But that I'm so glad, really and truly, you both of you have breathed new life back into that because Father, you Chris, you know, it was kind of let go.
Yeah, every year we try to do a little something to improve it, and I'm
Yes.
so grateful to Bishop that getting behind us on the capital campaign, you know, the Beacon of Faith, it's
Yeah.
campaign. So the future looks really bright there.
Well, when I asked Father Chris to take on the new job as Vicar General and moderator of the Curia, before I even asked him what the job was, the first thing I said is, okay, I'm going to ask you something, but you don't have to give up Camp Holy Cross. Because that would be the non-negotiable. If I said, okay, you don't have to give up Holy Cross, I wouldn't have to finish the sentence. He'd just say, no.
What I used to kid him and say, you know, does a bishop know that you're, you know, you have free time between 1 and 4 a.m. that you could, you know, do?
Yeah, so it's lucky I don't like to sleep.
Bishop, how is the Beacon of Campaign going?
So we met our goal. We are wrapping up the last segment of it. And we were lucky to have gotten a $2 million grant from a place called the Clark Foundation.
Wow.
And all going to go towards our Catholic education and hopefully be able to help get some teacher, you know, improvement on their salaries and things
Sure.
like that. And because maybe we can't pay them as much as a public school, but we can offer them other opportunities. And so to try and create, we have a partnership now with Elms College.
Oh,
So
wow, cool.
here in the, you know, the Sisters of St. Joseph's founded that college, and now we have a partnership where teachers can start working towards their masters or
Oh.
at a much discounted rate, and we are able to use some of those funds. So that's just one example. And then, of course, another important part of the ask was Camp Holy Cross.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you noticed, Bill, but they're not making more lakefront property in the Berkshires.
No, and what you have, poor Bill, the three of us couldn't afford to buy one, if even though it was an old summer cottage.
If we chipped in, yeah, that's.
Well, you know, as you do, I think I've shared with this before, I'm a big supporter of Catholic education, and here's my rationale behind it. There were two nights in Vietnam I didn't think we'd see the morning sun, and for some reason, snap back in my head, fourth and fifth grade stuff. you know, religious stuff. And I never forget that. I still don't. I still get a little emotional about it. Because I'm 78, but there were kids there 19. They'll be forever 19.
Right.
So that's why I support Catholic education. Father Chris gave me a tour through his school. There's just a different environment, attitude, whatever the proper word is, that they bring to Catholic education.
Yeah, it's all of it. It's that, I mean, all you have to do is go in and look at a crucifix on the wall and a statue of Mary, and the kids are doing, you know, service projects to help the poor. It's the whole, because we're able to educate the whole kid. We can educate not just the mind and have great sports programs, but we can also educate the soul. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and
people want it. You know, it, the St. Agnes is opening the doors this fall with the largest enrollment since the time I got there all those years ago. So it's really schools positioned well for the future.
And you do so much. You got the preschool. You know, I read an article recently about the kids that don't go to preschool in today's day and age are starting off behind. And so, I mean, as you know, St. Mary's knows I support, and Chris, Father Chris knows, because we've been on to the former principal, Father Chris, and I have been on together. And the feedback is always positive, Father Chris. I got to tell you that. The feedback, and it's not always the case with every show, trust me. You're going to do a radio show, you better have the skin of an armadillo. And I think some people went there afterwards and probably are. And I know people are in Lee. I know people because we broadcast into Southern Berkshire now.
You're asking for other good news. A couple weeks ago, I ordained the first priest we've had in 5 years. And to reminds me, a guy named Father John Williams. He's the youngest of 15 children.
Wow.
It was a yours, mine, and ours. So dad was a widower, mom was a widow. They each had kids. And then he was the ours. He was the one that brought the whole family. He was the baby brother that was from both mom and dad.
Oh, how great. And where's he stationed now?
He's up in Greenfield.
Oh, cool.
And a Marine.
And he's Marine. So he did two tours in Afghanistan. And he, as a deacon, this Memorial Day, he preached at the cemetery in St. Michael's Cemetery here in Springfield. And he told the story about a guy that he was with, his best friend, who never came home, and how he's kept up with the family and how their faith has continued to sustain them. It was a beautiful homily. Just very exciting for our local church. So we need to keep praying for vocations, especially the priesthood here in Springfield, because we're working on it.
Yeah, and I think you may see a turnaround for young folks, young men wanting and ladies, girls coming back into to be nuns and stuff. I have a document before I forget, because Father Chris will tell you that happens a lot lately. I'll park my car and be walking around the parking lot after Mass looking for it. But I have something I'm going to get to both of you. Remember Deacon Bill Moseley, Father Chris?
Very well.
Yeah. Well, he wrote a mini book about World War II, and one of his daughters gave it to me. And so I'll make copies of it and send it down to both of you. It's memoirs of World War II.
Wow. Because, you know, a lot of that generation never talked about.
Right.
I had a parishioner when I was back in Maryland, and he was as a young graduate, young second lieutenant out of Notre Dame, landed on the beach in Normandy.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to Normandy and seen it, you don't just land on the beach. It's not the Cape. There's a cliff
yeah.
with with Germans and mowing people down with bunkers with their machine guns. Horrible situation. And I remember asking him about it, and I said, "You were at Normandy. Tell me about this." And he said, "That was a long time ago. We made it home, and a lot of boys didn't, and that was it. Boom.
Yeah.
No, Band of Brothers story there. That generation didn't talk about it, and so I'd love to read that."
Yeah. In my generation of Vietnam, we couldn't talk about it because you didn't want people to know you were there. Because it was funny. An aside, I interviewed a man, and I'll send it to you. He's related to Father Salentino. It's his uncle. Normandy, World War II.
Wow.
102 years old. I interviewed him around his birthday at 102. I'm working on interviewing another guy, 107. World War II guy. So before the go.
It's great to capture the story because it's true. I had an uncle that, you know, was injured. He was the first person from Worcester that returned home injured from beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
And, you know, suffered because of it, but never talked about it.
Yeah. You know what else I find good about that story about Father Salatino's uncle, who's 102, that he's got good genes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell him that his retirement age is going to be 95 now instead of 75.
Yeah.
Thanks for that tip. St. Mark's, we got him for another 30 years. Okay, good.
You do what the other guy down in D.C. is doing. Just keep moving the ages up. It was 70. We're making it 75, maybe 77, you know. But
well, that's why Monsignor Mike at St. Joe's is an example to us all.
But,
you know, his train is pulling into 80 and he's looking great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But boy, I'll tell you, he's a trooper. Let's just say that he did a big, you know, Father Chris, Deary, the Mr. Ed, David Deary died.
Yeah.
Oh, you were there. I saw you. Yeah, he was on the altar. You did a good job. You should look into that for a job, really, career.
He's got one.
Yeah. I don't want to belabor it. You are missed. So what are the challenges for the church? What do you think? This diocese, Bishop, I've told you this to your face. I've told you in private. You've done great things for this diocese,
in my opinion. You know, here's the challenge is that it's also an opportunity, Bill. So your generation, those that fell away, they still knew the faith because they were raised by it. The sisters taught them, their mom and dad taught them. The generation that's coming up, they've never heard it before. They don't even come from a Christian culture. So if you say, "Oh, it's like Adam and Eve," they don't have any idea who Adam and Eve are. There's no even frame, you know, like cultural frame of reference. And so it's more like we are like St. Paul getting off the boat in Corinth to a culture that's never heard of Jesus. So that's both a challenge and an opportunity because it means that a lot of the young people are coming to the faith without any baggage. They weren't whacked by a nun or they weren't yelled at by a priest in confession or anything like that that would have maybe pushed them away. Or they're coming sort of with a completely clean slate. So at once it's a challenge, but at the same time, it's an incredible opportunity.
It really is. And not to belabor this, but right now, the world needs something. It seems to be helter-skelter, upside down or whatever. I have great faith in the new pope.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We need kind. You know, that's what's so great about having Father Chris. The death threats from Dalton to me come from the fact that everybody loved him. Why did they
exactly
love him?
Right.
Because Father Chris loved them. above all.
That's
he
right.
loved them and loved them with the love of Jesus. Well, I have a young couple that asked me to do their wedding. They live in Boston, and they called the parish. I said, listen, let's see if we can connect you. They both want to go to church. They
yeah.
both want to make everything right. And they were told by the parish secretary, no, call back in 6 months. You know, it'd be like, okay, well, it's a buyer's market, not a seller's market.
Yeah, yeah.
These days, you don't have to go to church to get married. You can get your friend to get a degree online, and 5 minutes, they can become a minister of the Universal Church of Nothing.
That's right.
You're married in your backyard or at the country club or wherever. So how about we learn to say, yes, how can I help you? Not call me in 6 months when you've used the envelopes.
And that was the happiest thing. Like when Bishop got assigned to our diocese, like one of the first words I heard out of his mouth was, he said, we have to be the church of yes. And it's like something I practice. So
you did.
I was thrilled. Like when he came and I heard that, I'm like, that's exactly what we need as a church, the church of yes.
Right. And I know I've said it. He has really breathed new life into this diocese because it was not, I'm not just make negative comments about others. It's just, perhaps you're younger, perhaps you have more energy. I don't want to say this, perhaps you're happy to be out of Washington because I know I was.
You know, Bill, I think it's important to recognize that saying yes is saying, how can I help you get closer? Not anything goes. We're not saying, yes, go do whatever you want to do. We're saying, yes, how can I help you grow closer?
Right.
How can I help you make this easier? How can I help you find Jesus? It doesn't mean, oh, go do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't say that, you know?
No, and I think you and Father Chris and Father Salentino and some of the others, I don't want to say you're the new breed because you're not kids. You've been in the trenches. You've seen the best. You've seen the worst. You've seen the in-between. And that's where I see the church going now. I mean, don't take offense at this, please. Malcolm Knowles used to be the father of adult education. And years ago when I was with the government, we had to go through this training academy to teach adults. And Malcolm Knowles had this famous saying that Father Chris can tell you, Bishop, that I've retooled it to meet my needs. And basically, you can share this with your brothers. Adults, the mind can only absorb what the behind can endure. And well, I'm not going to mention, but somebody the other was telling me that they were at a 35-minute sermon, and they said after 10 minutes I didn't know what you know, but
I know you eliminated me. That wasn't Dalton.
Yeah.
Oh no. Father Chris would say more in 10 minutes at most. Then a lot of, I mean, it was, Jimmy Joyce was my hero, Father Joyce. You didn't know him, Bishop.
I didn't know him. I did his funeral.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Oh. But Jimmy would do 5 to 7 minutes on something you could digest all week. Same with Father Chris.
Right. I know.
You walked out of there. And you know, I have to tell you this. We saw you at I don't know if Father Chris knows. My wife, the Polish princess, she tutors a lot of Vietnamese children that come here. So one of them, she's known since he was like 4 years old, was making his confirmation. And his mother asked the Polish princess if she'd stand up for him. Well, both of us stood up for him in his first communion. So, of course, we said yes. Bishop, you made that confirmation so real, not to them, but to us, old people who just got whacked, you know, and believe me, one of your predecessors, but you made it so real and so internalized it. And we talked to him after, and he said, yeah, that's what they were saying it would be like, that We are now soldiers of Christ. And, you know, that's a credit to you. It really is.
Well, yeah, and I think the secret is Jesus said, you know, that my joy may be yours and your joy may be complete. This is about bringing joy, and that's the message. And so if we can't make it a joyful experience, well, then we've failed desperately.
Well, you did. I mean, that everybody in that church, old, even people my age said, ours wasn't like that. I can remember a quick story. I come out, my mother says, "What's that on your face?" Oh, my God, it was a handprint.
Right.
Yeah. As far as Catholic education, you think you'll ever get a high school back out here? I know it's an unfair question, but.
Yeah, it is. It's probably not likely anytime in the immediate future. I think that because high schools generally draw from multiple, you know, just like in
right.
Pittsfield. So you got the regional high school that draws from seven middle schools. And so the only ones that we would have close by, of course, are Dalton and Lee. And so we have a high school down at St. Mary's in Westfield. And there are some kids that come from Lee.
Okay.
Come down from there. But our goal right now is to really strengthen the elementary schools. And then who knows, God willing, I'm open to everything. But.
Oh, I know you are. No, and I didn't mean as an unfair question. It's just as we see enrollments growing, you know, it would be wonderful to have another Catholic high school here or in the diocese, I would say.
Right. And I think that the sadness of is the fact that the Sisters of St. Joseph, you know, are aging and therefore shrinking. And they were the backbone of education here in Western Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And that with their, you know, moving to a different stage in their life of their community, we wouldn't have that same resource to draw upon.
No, and unfortunately, you're right about that. We just buried Sister Kathleen Wallace, but I think Father Chris will remember her. And I was looking at and one of the nuns came up to me and she said, "Don't you remember me?" And I went, "No." Well, first of all, last time I saw you were dressed up in the penguin outfit, you know, and now you're dressed in civilian clothes and you've aged. I've aged, you've aged. But you're right. Yeah, but I like your initiative to strengthen the grammar schools, the elementary schools.
Right. And you know, I think we have to, you know, Dalton is a prime example. If you're going to offer a product that somebody has to pay for when they can already get it because they pay taxes down the road, well, then your product has to be substantially and clearly superior.
Yeah.
And I think Dalton is a great example of that.
Oh, no question about it.
Not just about the faith element, but it's about academic excellence.
Yep.
And so that, I think, is an important important thing that we need to keep working on. Curriculum development, consistency of that, and trying to get. And we have, we should bring Maria on sometime. Maria Wagner is our superintendent of Catholic schools.
We interviewed her once, remember, with you.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she's trying to do just that.
And there's the thing is that it's really all about money as well, right?
Like yeah.
If we can get some of the money to follow the kids, that's the solution for our Catholic schools would explode overnight. I mean, we try to do the best that we can.
Yes, you
to
do.
Help people to explore the fact is that you know, there are sacrifices, but Catholic school is affordable, right? Yes. Like, you got to get people to take a second look at it. But the more money that we have to put into our schools, like, we would fill the schools overnight because people are, you know, they're thirsting for it.
So, I mean, the federal legislation came out granting tax relief for donations toward tuitions. And each state has to opt in.
Right.
So it's yet to be determined whether or not the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, whether or not Governor Healey would in fact opt in. But it's not as if that money is being taken from anywhere else. It's just people's generosity and then the tax benefit. So it wouldn't harm the public schools in any way for that to be. So we just have to keep urging, and the Bishop of Massachusetts are working on that and trying to get parent coalitions to say, hey, we're not trying to hurt public schools.
Right.
Make it better for what our interests are.
Yeah, and the whole thrust, in my opinion, is the money follows the kid, and if the kid opts to go to Sacred Heart or Sacred Heart, St. Agnes, or any, that should be, or the Mormon school, whatever, public education to me needs to be redefined. And I won't be around to do it, but you guys will be. We're going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I do want to pick up on a few things that I think we need to get out about Catholic schools, because they're misnomers. Just within the past 2 months, I heard the same old, as me saintly Irish mother would say, malarkey. So we'll take about a one-minute break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. I'm here with two wonderful men and community-spirited and religious guys, but they also care about each and every one of us in our communities. And as I said with Bishop Byrne, he's been a breath of fresh air. Father Chris, everybody knows Father Chris, and you can't say enough good things about him. And just make the check out the cash this time. Don't worry. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we are broadcasting down into southern Berkshire. So listen up. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Living Recovery is a peer recovery support center located in downtown Pittsfield. We welcome all who have struggled with addiction or those affected by another's addiction.
What have you learned while being involved at Living in Recovery?
I can own my own recovery path.
What has been your experience at Living in Recovery?
It's a family.
What keeps you coming back to Living in Recovery?
The live events.
For more information on Living in Recovery, visit our website, livingrecoverypittsfield.org, or phone us at 413-570-8243.
Let's have a party with all our friends. Let's have a good time. Don't let it end. We got the people.
Hey, friends. If you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8. and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The two good-looking guys you see there, one is Father Christopher Malatesta. The other is Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield, according to Rome. According to this show, he is the Bishop of Berkshire County. I don't have any authority over the guy in Rome, but there it is. We're talking, and we broke at the break, folks. We were talking about Catholic school, elementary education. And all I want to say is there's rumors, and they're not correct. And I got the two guys that know the most about Catholic schools in this diocese. And that is this. Our Catholic elementary schools today have as much technology and mathematics as any public school. I would think in Father Malatesta's former school before he was promoted. I went through that. It's so high tech, and the kids know it. In St. Mary's in Lee, the principal runs a robotics class and has all kinds of things going on. So don't buy that malarkey, because it's just not correct. It's not true. It might have been 50 years ago, but right now they're as cutting edge as any public school. And I had to say that. What do you think, Father Chris?
Absolutely. And I know that our schools have invested a lot of investment into the equipment that we have. I have to venture to guess our schools have some of the best technologies that are there. And then when you couple that with the teaching that's going on.
Yes.
In Dalton, we were doing, coding classes, have state-of-the-art technologies, really.
So there was a piece on Reel to Reel, our diocesan. Yep. So it's available on YouTube. So if you go to the Diocese of Springfield page or channel on YouTube, which is easy, just click in, put Diocese of Springfield, Massachusetts, you can find it right there about this very topic.
Oh, cool.
But another thing is that, it's all well and good to learn about technology, and I'm a full supporter, and I think we should be state-of-the-art. But it's also a good thing to know how to read.
Yeah.
Read a book critically and read be able to do basic math. So much of that has been lost in modern curriculums, where we are still able to do really the basics of how to teach a kid to write, to read, to think critically. And that, I think, is as important as being able to use computers effectively.
Oh, there's no question.
When our kids leave our school and end up in the public school system, for high school.
Yeah, go ahead.
Immediately can tell which kids came out of the Catholic school system, because there's a little bit of discipline, and the study habits are incredible. So we teach to master the subjects as opposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I also think, too, Catholic schools today teach responsibility. Bishop was saying, you teach about, you have projects that you work on. And that, to me, people and teaching responsibility. I have to brag a bit, and then we'll get back to the show. My grandson, who's not yet three, knows the Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Glory Be. And when his brother was getting baptized, my son said to the priest in New York that was baptizing him, William, say the Hail Mary, Father. And he said the Hail Mary and the Our Father and the Glory Be. He says, well, you did so well, you're going to be part of the service. And he had him stand right up there next to him. So, why I thought of that was, my wife, 40 plus years a school teacher, books.
Right.
Books. And what young William goes to preschool, and they recommend no screen time. Not a little bit, none.
It's like now when you go to seminary, the first year your phones are gone.
Good.
All of that stuff. You're learning how to live life without being...
looked at your phone?
No, looking at your phone. You know, your story about your grandson reminds me of something. My mother's name is Mary, 102 years old. God bless her.
God love her.
And her sister is Grace. And Grace was married, her late sister, Grace was married to my Uncle Phil. And so my mom realized when we were driving along and saying the Hail Mary for a safe trip, that we were all saying Hail Mary, Phil, and Grace. And she was like, oh, I've got the dumbest kids. I got eight of the dumbest kids riding around. They don't even know Mary, Phil, and Grace. So,
well, you know, I don't know, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm prepared for the backlash. I don't know how people without faith get through tough times. I mean, I gave you an example of two nights but I've had 22,000 nights since then of times when there's a prayer I like to say before I go to bed, and it is, you know, if I should wake up like you, Lord Jesus, who spent time, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, with the Father at night in the garden. And to me, I've used that. I've woken up at night and just sat there and had a conversation.
Right.
You know?
I think if that's you, what your wife has gone through.
I know.
She's the example.
You think I call her Polish princess for?
Exactly.
I used to call her angel, but I upgraded her to saint. Because when the angels leave, you got to vacuum up all those feathers. I just really see, don't you see the future of the church with the new pope? With the new pope. I think we've got great things ahead of us.
Well, no, you're good.
Yeah, what amazed me was that, you know, the people that were just like waiting when they announced the smoke, you know, that we had a new pope, and everything stopped and everybody was waiting.
Yeah.
You know, people of faith and not of faith. People are interested. People are hungry.
Yes.
A friend of mine, she's Jewish. I knew her from D.C. And I was talking to her daughter, who's a college-age student at NYU, and her three other little Jewish girlfriends she said, we were glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Wanted to see who the next pope is. I mean, it's great theater, but it's also such an event. Over 1 billion Catholics in the world. But I think this pope is something very special. And I had met him before, Bill.
Oh, wow.
I had met him. We have a mutual friend, and I was at a meeting in Rome, and he was at the meeting also. But this was before he was a cardinal, and I said, oh, your friend Father Rob Hagen and I are friends also. Can we take a picture of ourselves, and I'll send it to him? So I took the picture. So immediately when it was announced that it was Robert Prevost, I posted the picture to Instagram, and it's gotten over 750,000 views.
Wow, wow.
And the only reason I can figure that is Pope Leo must be sending it out to all his friends saying, hey, look who I know, this bishop in Springfield. Isn't that cool?
I'm sure that's it. Father Chris and I were shaking our heads that we're sure that's it.
That's got to be it. I can't figure it out. But I think he's bragging about knowing me.
Well, You know, I tell people I know you. So I'm proud of that.
There you go.
And Father Chris, he doesn't tell anybody he knows me because, you know, it could get him in trouble.
Well, it was funny with the Pope, though. The day that we had the TVs on in the school, as they were, waiting for the Pope, and when the smoke came, we kind of put all the TVs on in all of the classrooms and stuff. And I was in the building that day, but one of the first graders, as they were waiting, he pulled his hands and says, "We hope it's Father Chris." When they announced the Pope, it wasn't me, but I was delighted with the results of that.
Yeah, well, hey, somebody heard you got promoted.
Yeah.
you're on your way. I want to let the people know too, and Bishop, get ready. The Bishop does, he's on YouTube, and I love his YouTubes. He did one about the relationship with him and his dog. And I've watched that two or three times. It's so real. Could you give us a quick 30,000-foot view of that?
Yeah, I always talk about five things I learned from my dog. For example, when I have to go away, when the two of us get in the car, the dog doesn't say, where are we going? How long will it be there? Blah, blah, blah. The dog just gets in the car and is happy to be there. And I said, I need to be like that with God. If God says, come on, get in the car, we're going, I don't need to be like, what am I going to do? What's in it for me? How's it going to work out best for me? It's like, I need that kind of attitude. So that's originally from my book, Five Things with Father Bill, that is still out there somewhere. I don't know. I think you can pick it up at Stockbridge at the Shrine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. The thing too is, the Bishop, I like the YouTube because you can pick up some stuff condensed. And you're on the, how would they get to you? Bishop Byrne?
Yeah, you can find it at, if you just go to and put Bishop Byrne, or you go to the Dio website, Diocese of Springfield.
Oh, you're on there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and folks, again, this is an interesting fellow, an interesting two guys there, committed to their faith, committed, but they're also committed to being real. And Bishop, and not to embarrass you, every time I have you on, some version of it, that Bishop is so real. That Bishop is human. That Bishop is, that's what I think you bring. That's what Chris, Father Chris, sorry about that. Father Chris brought to St. Agnes too, that you're not aloof and you're not, and I mean that to be complimentary.
So Father Chris's new job is to be sort of the number two guy to help me get stuff done. His name is the Vicar General, and he's also moderator of the Curia, which means he runs the day-to-day operations of the administration. So his responsibility now is to bring that same real, that same kindness, that same love to the whole diocese in a very special way. So I feel very, very blessed that I have Father Chris to help implement that vision across.
You picked the right man, in my opinion.
Hey, Bill, can I make a few plugs for some things coming up in the diocese?
You certainly can. It's your show.
Okay, so on September 6th, we're going to do at Holy Cross a family fest, fun and faith and family. And it's 8:30 on all day, Camp Holy Cross, September 6th. And then it's going to have games and every possible fun thing. Then we're going to have a men's conference and a women's conference.
Oh, wow.
And so the women's conference is going to be, we're going to pull this right up here right now. And that
is the men's first.
The men's conference is going to be October 4th at Bellamy Middle School in Chicopee. All day. If you go to the website,
okay,
you find out the www.diospringfield.org. It's right there on the landing page. And then there's a women's conference also. And the women's conference is coming up also. And to show you how what incredible speakers we have for the men's conference, one of the keynotes is my sister, Sister Dee Dee Byrne.
Oh, wow.
Sister soldier and surgeon. She's a surgeon, was a colonel in the Army. And so she's and now she's a pro-life warrior here. She's going to be awesome.
Oh, cool.
And so that's going to be that's the men's conference. And then you got Family Fest. And then we've got the women's conference, which we're looking up right now. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's. Did we find it? OK, so while we're looking it up and Mark is looking it up.
Can I just say while you're thinking or looking, I was at Sacred Heart when you came for that listening session. Are you still doing those?
Yeah, so I plan on we took a hiatus because everyone, the summer's not a good time to do it.
No.
So we're trying to do each of the counties. So my hope is to get to Hampshire County next. And then we're working on Franklin and Hamden. And so the women's conference is going to be in November, November 15th.
Okay.
So at Bellamy Middle School in Chicopee, all day, go to the website and you'll find out about the Diocesan Women's Conference. It's going to be amazing.
That to me, what you're doing is you're bringing faith outside of the church, if that makes any sense.
Right. And getting people together in, and to socialize, but also hear some, be inspired to go and bring others back.
Well, I haven't had a chance to feed back to you about the Sacred Heart piece. Boy, that was so well received. And I loved how you do it. I'm here to listen. And then you just stopped.
Right. And people wanted to talk, and that's what I thought was great. Father Chris was there.
Right. I mean, they're great events because it's, like we kind of introduced it around the theme of the Jubilee year.
Yeah.
And then just gave the people a chance to talk. And it's exactly what people want. People want to be heard, and we've, we're a listening church. So I think it's.
Right. And the idea is not to hear what the parking lot in Our Lady of Fluttering Angels needs to be, repaired. Yeah. The point of the thing is to say, how is the Spirit calling us to bring Jesus to others?
And today, anything you can do, either one, and you're both very big contributors, to get that message out. Because, like I said, I'm an old man, and I am falling back on stuff that from my youth, from my teen years, from my early marriage years now, just to kind of sustain me.
Right.
I maybe know too much from my old life, to me, having the faith and going into the church, I lost my brother. You knew that, and thank you, Bishop, for thinking of that. But in November, and we had a mass set here at St. Mark's because that's where they were born, married, and he and his wife. And I want to tell you, Father Salentino really, he touched everybody in there. And that's why I hope all of you watching and viewing this, you got to talk to them about the theological stuff, but you go back to the church. Just go to a mass and just go. I know for some it's been a very long time, but... Jay can tell you the ramifications.
I always say, when something goes on in somebody's life, the first place they turn is the church.
Yes, right.
So a lot of times that, like as a culture, sometimes we don't think we need church, but when the tough times come, everybody turns to the church. It's important, and
That you're exactly right. And but what you guys are doing with the kiddos, because as you know, it's not a priority in a lot of homes anymore, teaching the kids about that you can. Father Chris and I were at a, and we won't mention, but a young girl had a baby out of wedlock and wanted to get it baptized. And oh boy, how do I say it, Father Chris? You're better at it than the church wasn't receptive at that point. And Father, but I think it's done now.
Well, we are now. So, and if you do have any problem with it, if you're listening to this, you have any problem, call my office.
He helped out.
But the other point is, I just think that, we want to make sure that people know, if you're somebody's there listening and they're wondering, why do I need to go back to church? All I say is, turn on the news. That's what a culture of without church is about. Why do you need to go to church? Because the message of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is about love. And that's what we need. He is not just loves us. He is love. So why would you deny yourself an encounter with love? So that's all I say is now turn off the TV and go to church.
Yeah. Yeah. And Father Chris and Bishop, I cannot thank you enough. The feedback from when you're on, Bishop, it really is. It's
always a delight. Always a delight to be with you.
Well, it's always a delight to have you. And Father Chris, I'm going to do what I can to stop the death threats to the bishop.
I know. Everybody from Dalton, forgive me, all right?
Yeah.
He comes to the pike now. He can't drive through Route 9 Dalton.
No. And I'm a little leery about sitting with the choir behind me now. I try to sit underneath it because they see I like the bishop. So you guys have been great. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. And I mean that, both of you. You're good men and you're honest men and I hate this word because all the politicians use it, but both of you are transparent in the most positive sense of the word. Thank you for
having us on.
Well, and thank Mark because he's my go-to guy. He is the best and he's always helping me out. And thank you, Bishop, for changing the time because if you cancel an appointment at the VA, it could be months.
Oh, yeah, of course. Not a problem.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'll send you pictures of St. Agnes about once a week so you don't get lonely.
Thank you.
Bye. And God bless you guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.